Kuhn for what the devil composed this mizmor, mizmor lamed ches. So let's see Rashi. Rashi says mizmor to David loymer b'shas tzara. David composed this mizmor to be recited at the time of tzara. B'lahazkir tzarasam shel Yisrael lefnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu, to remember the tzarasam of the Jewish people before Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Uchneged kol Yisrael amoroi. It's a powerful Rashi. Rashi says that the subject of the word of Zechira, Lahazkir, is the Tzarasan Shel Yisrael. It's not a request to remember, it's not Yizkar. We're not coming to remember people of the other world. We're not coming to remember the past, the good things. It's very, Rashi is very, very specific. You look very carefully. A lot of the Mepharshim here, they enter into the ring. They get involved and they try to decipher this very obscure pasuk. What exactly does this mean? Rashi does not apologize. And he's saying this mizmor David, he's a lot of, very short Rashi, but he says a lot of things. Uchneged kol Yisrael amoroi. This is a mizmor that David composed, according to Rashi, that was given over to Klal Yisrael as a formula, what they should say when they find themselves in times of difficulty. David over here is laying out a blueprint. He's laying out the future of Klal Yisrael. There are going to be difficult times in the history of Klal Yisrael when there are problems. This is what you should say at the time of Tzara. What's so interesting is that we don't ever do this. Every time we're in yeshiva, I know not too much in these circles anymore, but you know there are always things going on in the world, and there are wars, and there are people that are all different types of problems, and every once in a while the yeshiva, okay, today after davening we're going to say Tehillim, we're going to say there's a war, the Persian Gulf.
Usually, when we pick.
When there are problems, there are wars, there are terrorist attacks. In Eretz Yisrael, Rachman Lutzlan. So we never say this. Rashi on those mizmorim is maski le David b'yosef amaros sefilah. That was a popular mizmor that's always said in yeshiva. Mizmor of Shema lois b'mam akim kosich Hashem. Shema lois esonai el hehorim me'an yevoy ezri. I don't ever recall in yeshiva all the years, and even now, and I, you know, they ever say. They say this mizmor, mizmor l'David l'haskir, Hashem al bi ketz b'cha sochicheni. In your anger, do not rebuke me. U'v'chamoscha siyasreni. You don't, it's not part of the roster. It's not on the list of the mizmorim that typically is recited in the Bote Kinesis, Bote Midrashos at the time of Tzara. There've always been times.
I don't know. Is there a real reason other than I can just say it's a very long one so they didn't do it?
It's not so long. It's average. It's just it's the same size as a masculine David and Shiram Allah. It's not so long.
Awesome. Just quickly glancing, I don't think there's maybe one pasuk that's even slightly familiar in this whole thing.
So it's just interesting that it doesn't say by Shira Malitz and Maskel David that David composed the mizmor Uchneged Kol Yisrael Amoroi. It's a general mizmor for Klal Yisrael. The time of Tzadei should recite it. It's interesting, you know, if we would learn Rashi, if we would know, if we would master Tehillim to a much greater degree, maybe things would be different. In any event, it's a very interesting thing over here that this mizmor David composed for the entire Klal Yisrael. It's not said in anything specific. According to Rashi, he's not reflecting on any particular event in his life. Other than Mepharshim over here, they allude to he is, but according to Rashi, not. It's nothing specific in his life. It's a general mizmor that when Klal Yisrael finds themselves in a matzav of an eitz tzara, they should go to this composition, and they will find in it the precise words of Beruna al-Pi Ruach HaKodesh to deal with any tzara that Klal Yisrael finds themselves in, and it will be effective. Unbelievable. Loimroi, David wrote this mizmor, and he said it should be recited b'shas tzara. Lahazkir, what are we coming to remember in this? What's the hazkara? What is the hazkara? The tzarasam shel Yisrael. Who are we being maskir? The tzarasam shel Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this was said, uchneged kol Yisrael amaro. this Rashi, it was worth it for me to come wake up today just to learn this Rashi. This Rashi over here, really, it says an enormous amount, powerful information to tell you about David. You know, David devoted himself to Klal Yisrael, and he wrote compositions like Ruach HaKodesh for the history of the Jewish people to be used, to utilized for their benefit. Okay, that's Rashi. Now, let's just jump for a second into the Targum.
Is there any other parak in all of Tehillim that says something like this?
I don't know. So far, not. I don't think so. I don't remember so far, but I didn't learn anything past this Mizmor. But it's obviously very unique. It's obviously.
And why don't we follow Rashi's notes?
I don't know. I do not know. I don't know. I don't call the shots. I don't know. It's a powerful Rashi. Rashi says quite a bit what this Mizmor is about. Powerful words.
The other ones are shorter.
The other ones are shorter. Mizmor, not Mizmor La'asaf.
Listen, if we have a Torah, so we'll take an extra 2 minutes. This is going to be an effective way.
There are a lot of things. Look, I'll tell you a story. Someone gave me a book. Oh, let's see. A lot of the fresh. Look, there are a lot of things that you can do. I'll give you a mashal. So a gevaldik story. A gevaldik story from Reb Shaila. There's a new fad today. Reb Shaila from Karastir. Okay, I mean, you see his picture all over the place. If he put the picture
against the mice.
Against the mice. What is a war? Mishigas. People put his picture. They put his picture to chase away mice. They put his picture.
What?
Rabbi Shaila Mikarastir. You don't see his picture. They have songs and his picture. Became a new Mishigas. I even saw his picture.
It's
quite old. I saw his picture on construction sites. On actually printing. You know, they have these on today with computer, they have the computer model, they have a big, you know, they board up a whole piece of property and then they put a big sign who the contractor is and the license, and they have a computer image of what the building will look like when it's complete. And part of it is they have the picture of Yeshaya Karastir embedded in this big, big picture to scare away the building department. You never saw on all these big, big signs on construction sites, they have a screen. Would you believe how crazy? They put into the picture, into the thing, his image as a schooler that... The Department of Buildings should not come and inspect and make problems and shut us down for all of the illegal activity that we are engaging in.
No, it's not for that. It's for the mice. Mice
and mice only. So what mice are there on a construction site? Rats, not mice.
Did you ever live next to a construction site that started when they first started the excavations? You don't. The mice come out from under.
All the place. Get rid of the mice.
And the roaches. And everything.
All right. Right. Okay. So this is. Okay. So this is. So okay. So let's go further. Okay. So let's. I'll just tell you a story. You want to talk about what we should say another Mizmor. Listen to the story. You know, by Hasidim, I saw the story yesterday. You know, by Hasidim, there's a minute that Mitzvah Shabbos they say stories. Stories. This is what they Mitzvah Shabbos have Lav Malka. What are you supposed to do by the Blav Malka, by a Chassidus and Blav Malka? You're supposed to say over stories, Chassidus and Maiselach. Chassidus and Maiselach, from the Rebbes. So it was Mitzvah Shabbos, and there was someone sitting by Reb Shaya Karastir, and he was telling him this Mifsim from the Rebbes. So Reb Shaya says to the guy, tell me, you really believe these stories? You really believe these Chassidus and Maiselach? I'm not so sure. I'll tell you. You want to hear a story? I got a story for you. I'll tell you a mamish my face. Let me tell you a real story. So ma'isa shahaya, a guy. I think it was a person came. A chassid comes to me and he says, "There's a guy in my house, with a hatchet. He wants to kill me. Come right away, save me." So I go. I run to the house, and I see Taka. There's a big guy with a hatchet. He's gonna kill the guy. So he says, what do you want to kill him for? So he says, he ordered from me building supplies. He didn't pay me. I'm gonna kill him. He's a ganef. So he says to the Balabas, his chosid, is this true? So he says, sort of. I ordered lumber. I ordered whatever it is, and he delivered it, and it's not exactly what I wanted, but pretty much. So it's not exactly the way I want. There's a sichsuch, it's not exactly the way, you know, but whatever, yeah, basically to a large degree it's true. I owe him money. And he wants to kill me. So the Rebbe says, so you know what happened? I told the guy, you know, maybe you could negotiate with him. They started this. The guy got angrier and angrier, and he was mamish about to kill him. So you know what I did? I did a my face. I was piling my face. I was kayach, and the guy went away. So the chas, what was the my face? What did the Rebbe do? The my face? I paid him. I paid him. That was the my face. It's a true story. I paid him, and the guy was happy, and the guy went away. I gave him what he deserves, the money he deserves. So you talk about if he has an eighth sorrow, an eighth sorrow, say till him. You know what the ultimate solution for an eighth sorrow is? To do what you're supposed to do, to be honest, to pay, to be honest, and to do the basis before you have to worry about, should we say this mizmor of Tehillim, and that mizmor of Tehillim. The first thing is to be honest and do what the halacha demands of you in order to cease and desist, to tell the Yetzirah, to tell the Satan Adkan. All right, this is Rashi. Now, if you look quickly in the Targum is something very, very obscure. Targum says, Mizmor says, Tush Bachna L'David, that means the Mizmor, Al Tzirir L'Vointa L'Duchrona Al Yisrael. What does that mean? The Tzirir Levanta. Good morning, Rabbi Shulman. Shalom aleichem. What does it mean over here? That tzirir levanta. It means a kernel of levanta, frankincense. What is that all about? A kernel of frankincense as a remembrance for the Jewish people. What's going on over here? So he's referring over to the Ketores. No, it can't be the Ketores. It can't be the Ketores, because the Ketores has 11 Samonim. The only thing that's Levoina, correct me if I'm wrong, is the Lechem Aponim. Right? The Lechem Aponim, what do you put in the Lechem Aponim? You do two bazichin of Levoina. And you put those two bazichin of Levoina on the Lechem Aponim, on the breads, and on Shabbos, the bazichin of Levoina is offered on the Mizbeach as a carbon, basically. So it would appear, I mean, you know, everything over here is subject to interpretation. Mizmor David Lahaskir, this Mizmor, Al Tzirir Levoina, the word tzirir, I'm not sure I know the word. It means either a collection, or it means a kernel of levoina as a remembrance of the Jewish people. It would sound like that David is saying that this mizmor captures the essence of the lechem upon him. Can you say such a thing? And we have to now go. We didn't do the mizmor. We have to go study the mizmor and keep that in mind. Look, what is bread all about? What is bread? Bread is the same letters as milchama, war. This mizmor clearly describes how our enemies are coming to wage war against the Jewish people. Luchu lachamu bilachmi. Right? Go to battle with my bread. This is a play on the word. Loshoin noifel al haloshoin. Lechem is bread. And lechem is the shorish of the word milchoma, war. Why do people fight wars? Why do people fight wars? They fight wars over bread. Okay, today they'll fight wars over oil. They fight wars over water. They fight wars over kavod. They fight wars over, I don't know, technology. Just power. But generally, you go back to the kernel of war. This, the Chazal said this. The reason why the word lech and the word milchama have the same sharish is because wars, in its core, are fought over bread. And this mizmor here, what? Bread. Life. Ki loy al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Okay, war, what is war? War is about life. Bread is the staple of life.
I don't think you can generalize about the causes of war.
Of course not. Today, are wars fought over bread?
Religion.
Look, bread is a symbol of life, is a staple of life. Lo al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Right? So, ki al kol motzofi adam yichye. That means, the Pasuk is coming to acknowledge, come on, we missed you for 2 days, getting worried about you. Ki lo al halechem levado yichye ha'adam. Lechem is a symbol of life. If there's no bread, there's no life. And lechem is the same shorish as milchama. Therefore, when it comes to Shabbos, we don't really focus on this very much, but Shabbos, you bring a very unique carbon. You bring the shnei bazichin of levoina. You put on the mizbeach the two cups of frankincense. And this levoina accompanies, is the offering which is mazkir, the lechem upon him. The lechem upon him. And the lechem upon him obviously represents Parnasa. It represents, and Parnasa is life. If there's no Parnasa, there's nothing. Everyone says all the time that most Shalom Bayis problems are all rooted in Parnasa, in money. And here, the Targum is saying, really, it's something that's really way out. No one even on the page, anywhere remotely, says any remez to what it says in the Targum, this idea, Al Tsurir Levonta Leduchrona Al Yisrael. The tsurir, the collection of levoina that serves as a remembrance for the Jewish people. Levoina? Where do you have a levoina? Lechem aponim. What is lechem aponim? Shabbos, for the bread. And what is this mizmor? Where in this mizmor is there any remez to bread? Nowhere. But this mizmor represents intense milchama. Intense, our enemies have armed their weapons, have launched their missiles, have engaged us in terrible warfare. And what do you fight war? The word milchama and the word lechem share the same root. Luchu lachamu belachmi. So we have to keep that in mind, that this mizmor over here is, according to the Targum, is coming to connect us to the offering that accompanies the lechem aponim. And if we delve into that, perhaps we'll get a greater insight into this mizmor and in the relationship between the lechem aponim and the bazichin on Shabbos to our relationship with the umayis ha'olam who are always coming to wage war against us. Okay, just keep that idea in mind. Now, if you look in the Radak, B'chol mentioned the Radak of here says, Mizmor David LaHazkir, Pasuk Alef Radak, page 343, Efshar, it is possible, Ki milas LaHazkir hu echad b'tamei haneginois, Ki moyish shekosavnu b'mizmor harivi. Now, that's a shocking interpretation of what he says. Is that the word LaHazkir is doesn't mean to remember. Okay, Rashi clearly said, the word lahaskir means lahaskir tzarosom shel Yisrael lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Targum says the word lahaskir refers to it says leduch rana. The word leduch rana means a remembrance. According to the Radak, the word lahaskir means it is a melody. It is a certain note, a certain, I don't know, it doesn't really say it's a melody, it's the meter of the song, it's the motif. It's something to do with melody. It has something to do with you know, there are different types of melodies. There are different types of melodies, different types of notes, and things that are related to music. And when David over here is giving instructions to the musician, that when you go and you sing this song, Lahaskir, it's going to be on a D minor. I don't even know what that means. Okay, it's going to be on a certain note.
Lahaskir always means
remember. No, that's what the Radak is saying. It doesn't. your ayin panim l'torah. We just said Rashi says lahaskir means lahaskir tzoros, it means to remember. The Targum says to remember. The Radak says efshon. He's saying something novel, something new, something different that we never heard before. That the word lahaskir in this context does not mean to remember. Lahaskir is related to a certain musical element. When you go to a concert and you hear the musicians practicing, they tune their musical instruments to a note, to a theme, to a... I'm not musical, so I don't have all the terminology to present to you, but everyone has an appreciation. There are some melodies that are very sad, and there are some melodies that are very happy. There are some melodies that are played on a
minor keys, major keys. Are the sad songs.
And all the different things that are really, if we bring over here an expert, a musician, a violinist who knows everything. Okay, now I'm just saying that for a reason. The person who is listening knows what I'm saying, understands what I just said, and I'm talking to you. But in any event, if you bring here a person who is knowledgeable of music, they will explain to you all the different concepts of, the dynamic of music, and the word lahazkir is touching upon one of these concepts. And David here in this first pasuk is speaking to the musicians. He's speaking to the maestro. He's speaking to the conductor. And he's telling him that when this mizmor is to be sung and played with music, lehazkir, my instructions to you are to open up your musical book, and in the chapter called lehazkir, it should be played with that melody, that tone, motif, v'chulu v'chulu, all those musical concepts. That is a novel interpretation which you would never imagine if not for the fact that the Radak tells you such a fascinating concept. Okay, now the next interpretation.
Remind me about a melody of Kol Yidre. It's not a happy melody, it's a sad melody. This parrot is talking about trouble. So make a melody of your kibbutz melody. You know, this kind of thing.
Of common with you, we can't hear you. It's breaking up. I'm not sure it's breaking up because of my connection or yours. I can't. The internet is not good. There's something wrong here.
The melody that he gives the conductor.
Yeah.
It's a melody, but a very sad melody. Like Cornelia melody.
It's a sad. You say the word Lahaski means a sad melody?
Yeah. No, this is a code. Like what
right, it's a code for a certain time melody.
Like Yom Kippur, this is not, when you say Kol Nidre, it's very sad,
It's a certain type of melody, and the name of the melody is called Lahazkir. Right, yes. This is David. In other words, David over here is not speaking to us. The opening line of this mizmor, we have this idea in many of the mizmor. David is speaking to the conductor. He's speaking to the conductor and is giving him instructions. This is what you're supposed to do when you play this melody. Okay, that's his first interpretation. The Yesh Mefarshim, Lahaskir, Kamo Lahoidos, means to give thanks. Lahaskir means to remember all of the good, all of the kindness that Hashem has done for the Jewish people. We're reflecting about, maybe we were asked the question in the beginning of the Shir, how come we don't say this Mizmor when we have gatherings at times of Tzara, like Rashi says, maybe because we don't follow Rashi. Over here, the Radak is saying, Adarab, but this is a Mizmor that should be sung at times of celebration, at times of victory, to reflect, look, all of our enemies tried to destroy us, and look, we're now going to be mazkir. We have to substitute the word lazkir with the word lehoidois. We have to give thanks to Hashem for saving us. A whole different interpretation of what it says in Rashi. Lahazkir kamo lehoidois. V'chein haskiru ki niskov shemo. Hazkiru, make it remembered. Hazkiru is a command. Make sure that people remember that Hashem's name is exalted, referring to all of the miracles and salvation that he has done. Ulufi Daiti. Now that Radak is the third interpretation.
Why is it given to knowledge?
Lahazki, okay, so. Lahodos. It's totally zebezet. Acknowledging in essence is a thank you, to a large degree.
Okay.
It's to a large degree. It's by thanking a person, you are in essence acknowledging what he has done. Now sometimes you're very effusive in your acknowledgement, and very thankful, and sometimes less so. Just an awareness of what a person has done.
Just be an acknowledgement of what has happened.
True. I mean, many people don't want to hear praise. Many people, what they really want, a mature person, is not usually interested someone should come and thank them. But they do feel, an insincere thank you is worthless. They want the other person to be aware, who did this for you? Parents. Parents want the children to call them every single thank you. I don't think so. I think they want this. There's a satisfaction in knowing that someone else appreciates, acknowledges what you have done for them, and that is the ultimate thank you. Saying words of thank you doesn't have the depth of acknowledgement is very superficial. Let's go further. Then he gives a third interpretation. Lufi daiti ki amizma zech hibroi David lehispalel boy kolish miduke. Every person, now, this is not what Rashi says. This over here appears to be private. An individual who has been crushed. Good morning, Harav Mordechai. Mintz.
Good morning.
L'espal bo kolish midukeh bocho loyim uvitzorai snafshop. Now notice here he says very specifically a person is sick, physically sick. He doesn't say he's under stress, financial stress. Chovos, shiduchim, he's under a lot of pressure. Doesn't say that. He says here, physical illness. Miduke, he's crushed with bicholoyim, illness, uvitzarois nafsho, or he says spiritual, his neshama, he's depressed, his neshama. Doesn't say over here anything about money, anything about the enemy, or life and death. The enemies are coming to attack. There's a war going on. They're going to kill the person. It says, I don't know. It doesn't have that flavor. It doesn't have that flavor. The word Tzoros Nafsho juxtaposed to the word Becholoyim has more of a war. Also, is a war. Also, is for the community, for the tzibor. He says, "Kol ish miduke v'zeu lahazkir kolaymar zeh mizmahu lahazkir." This mizmar, put in your arsenal. Put in that you should make use of it in a situation in the future when you have problems. Every person who is nidke, who is crushed and broken, use it. I'm giving you a gift. David is saying to Klai Yisrael, I'm giving you a gift. You don't even realize what I'm giving you. You just look at this mizmah, you don't even appreciate it. Look at it, read it, and in times of need, dwell upon it. It will help you. It will help you. Now, this interpretation, I believe, is still different than Rashi. Rashi appears to say, this is for the tzibur. The Radak, he emphasizes with intensity, it's for the individual. Rashi did not say, Rashi's interpretation is very, very similar to what the Radak said in the third interpretation, but not the same. He's saying, loimroi b'shas tzara, lahazkir tzara som shel Yisrael. It sounds like there's a war. There's a war. We have a whole, there's an attack. They're shooting scuds. They're shooting missiles from Gaza. There's an attack from Lebanon. The Egyptians are attacking. Jordan is sending in tanks. Okay, it sounds more like there's an attack on what Michal spoke about yesterday. There's an attack on Jewish education in New York City. I was reading about it yesterday. It's unbelievable. They're having meetings. It's unprecedented in the upper echelons of government to attack only yeshivas. They're not discussing private schools. They're not attacking Christian. There's a whole gezeira in government now to focus on one thing only, yeshivas. Only yeshivas. Orthodox, all Orthodox Jewish schools, not secular private schools, not Christian, the church, only to make gezeros on unprecedented in the history of the country and New York State. It's unbelievable. Where's the governor? I can't help you. I'm busy. Get lost. She's the only one that can do something, that at this late stage in the game can step in and do something. She's the only one, and she made it very clear she couldn't care less about the Orthodox community. The analysis of some of the editorials is that her people told her they need the government programs, and the Democrats give them the government programs, and they will be willing to sacrifice on their education to get food stamps, to get Section 8, and to get all of their government programs. They'll be moichel on their Jewish education, because they know if they vote for a Republican, they're going to have tsaris getting their programs, their entitlements, their programs. So I'm willing to take that gamble. Better do nothing for them, and they'll anyway get my vote. That's the analysis that I read. Is it true, Abuchal, such a thing?
Sounds reasonable.
And she doesn't know how wrong she is. She doesn't know how...
I don't truly believe that the Jewish community, whether Hasidic or modern, which are also affected...
Only Orthodox Jews. Only Orthodox Jews.
All Orthodox schools are targeted.
Only Orthodox schools. Only.
Yes.
All. Modern, the whole spectrum. Not
Hasidic. A few Hasidic ones, but now it's... We're all in it.
Right.
Made that point.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I can't believe that Hasidim would be willing to,
She doesn't know how wrong she is. She doesn't know how wrong she is.
In denial.
She does not know how wrong she is.
Yeah.
And
she doesn't care.
It doesn't matter. The Orthodox vote is very small.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
The front page of this page.
I know, yeah.
No, it's in jail for
not my problem.
Not providing
right,
my problem.
Exactly. That's the big thing now today.
You missed it yesterday.
So this is an eighth sara. Make no mistake about it. It's a very big problem. It's an eighth sara. So this is what it says in David. David says, read this mizmor. Radak doesn't say that. Radak says it's lahazkir for the individual who is in a matziv of illness or tzaras nafshe. He emphasizes that this mizmor is for the individual, not for the klal. So sach hakol, so far, we have four very interesting interpretations as to what this first pasuk in this mizmor refers to. This is the best part. We shouldn't just give a shir on the first pasuk of every. I think it's what we should really do, because there's a lot of repetition. Just have a shir on the first pasuk of every single mizmor. That would be a good idea, right? Every day, we'll just do the first pasuk of every single mizmor. We would finish very quickly, and we would probably cover the same thing anyway. And this mizmor, Rashi, has so far four interpretations. Is it Rashi's powerful words that lahazkir? I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving a gift to Klal Yisrael at an ace tzara. When Jewish education is under attack, when there's a war for Klal Yisrael, Radak interpretation number three, I'm giving this as a gift, lahazkir, to the individuals of Klal Yisrael, to use as a tool to pray when they are ill or they are suffering what he calls saras nafshay. Radak's first interpretation, the word lahazkir, this is an instruction to the conductor, the maestroi. There's a certain tone and element in music that he has to be aware of when he plays and he conducts this mizmor. And interpretation number four is the second interpretation of Radak, that this, the word lahazkir, means acknowledgement. It means hoidah, thank you. When you win a battle and when you are victorious, then on Hanukkah, you should say this mizmor when you finish davening, because this mizmor will give hoidah, shevach v'hoidah, to recall the battles and the victory over your battles. Wow, what a spectrum of interpretations for this one pasuk, and we're not even done yet. Look at the siporno. Sipurna says, no, this is just an historical account.
But by the way, the Rabbah says they're individual, because the whole, if you look at the Psukim, it's all individual. Ani, Yisraeli,
okay.
Nichatu Bi, Alai, it's not Alei.
Right, it's not Klal Yisrael. It's all in the Yisrael. Excellent. So the fact that the Radak is with precision. Radak is saying, not like Rashi, it's for the Yochid. Rashi says Yisrael. Rashi has a different flavor. Look, you can be Medayik, you can say that Rashi also means every single individual. Okay, but there's a certain flavor. There's a certain flavor you get from Rashi that's very different than the Radak. Absolutely. Now, we come to the net. Now, the Sepurno says none of the above. None of the above. Don't tell me that David was thinking about Klal Yisrael. This is just an historical account. This is David HaMelech is talking about his own personal life. This is a very big topic. When Tehillim, what is Tehillim exactly? Is Tehillim, like, you know, a lot of these Sefarim that I read, I used to prepare this share, like the Sefer on Shofar, the Sefer on Shofar that we've been using the last 2 days. Rabbi Etlinger, what was his first name? I forgot his first name, Rabbi Etlinger, the Baal Tokea in Breuers, Kahaladas Yeshun for 35 years. So he writes it very clearly, and you see this many, many Sefarim in the Hakdama. I wrote a kuntris for myself, my own personal notes. Someone mentioned to me that even Rabbi Eisenberger, Rabbi Gershon Eisenberger, the other set that we used, he started out putting all of these things on cards for his own personal notes. And then after a period of time, he had a collection. Oh, you know what? You know what? This is gewaldig stuff. Why should I be selfish and keep my notes only for myself? Let me share my personal notes with the whole Klal Yisrael. The rabbi's notebook. The rabbi's notebook. I have personal notes, and then I figured, you know what? I can polish up and publish it as a sefer. Many, many svarim start out like that. People, they write their personal notes, and then they end up sharing it with Klal Yisrael. Question: is that what Tehillim is all about? Many will argue, yes, that's exactly how Tehillim started. David was writing mizmorim. David was an individual. He lived private life. He was the melech, of course, and he wrote. He lived. He was a pious person, and called kavuda bas melech penima. There's an element of tznius where a person he grows and develops personally, and he wrote all of these compositions to reflect upon his personal private life. And then vayehi hayoyim. You know what? My time in this world is limited. I might as well give as a gift my personal collection of psalms to Klal Yisrael, and maybe they can make use of it. So there's a fundamental difference as to how we have the Tehillim. When David composed Tehillim, was he thinking about the future? Well, according to Rashi, he certainly was. In this mizmar, he never intended to write this for personal use. He composed this solely for Klal Yisrael. That's what the Radak says in the third interpretation, and even in the first and second, it pretty much sounds like that. The Sepurno says no such thing. Look at the Sepurno. Kivar amru chachamim shisha chodoshim nitzora David. David had tzoras for 6 months. David suffered from every possible tragedy in the world. David lost children. David had problems with his wives. David had problems with his children fighting amongst themselves. David was sick. What page? We're on page 343. David's life encompassed the life of every single person in this world. David suffered every type of tragedy, every type of problem in the world David dealt with.
Radak?
Radak. No, it's Sipurno. Now we're doing the Sipurno. 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 So it's below the Radak. Below page 343, below the Pasuk Lamed Ches. Pasuk Lamed Ches. David dealt with every single tzara in this world. He experienced it, and he wrote about it. Is that mine?
No.
David dealt with every single tzara in this world. And over here he writes, "Amru chacham kram chacham shisha chodoshim nitzora David." This week's parasha, Zochor Eis Asher. What does Rami ask? What does it say about Miriam?
Zochor Eis Asher Asolachom Miriam Baderek Vitzeischem Mitzrayim.
What happened to Miriam? Remember what happened? She had tzaras.
She became
tzaras. Tzaras. So David also had Saras. He knew exactly what it was. Go learn Masechta Negoim. It's one of the hardest Masechtas in Shas.
She only had it for
seven days. 7 days.
So he had it for six months.
So he knew what it was all about. He knew all the simanim, all the halachas. He experienced it. He knew what it was all about. Shisha chodoshim nitztora David v'nistalka mimenu shechina. The shechina departed. Now that's the consequence.
But him knowing the simanim is not the milo amori. The kohen has to pronounce it.
100%.
That's why you read it in the targum. The targum on the pasuk is chivur ketalga and vihinei mitzoras. First he had she showed him a white spot. It doesn't say that she had tzoras.
Right.
Until Aaron pronounced
it. Paskin, you need a coin to Paskin, 100%. What is the consequence of having Tsaras? So for an average person, I get unemployment for 6 months. Right? You're on vacation and the government will give you unemployment. No. For David, the Tsaras meant histalkus hashchina. It's not just, I'm embarrassed. Oh, people are talking about me. Oh, you said Lashon Hara. You must have. What Avera did you do? They go through, there are seven Averas. Oh, David, he must have done them all.
Similar to Esther, when she went into Achashverosh.
So the problem for this, the point is something very profound in these few words. Having Tsaras, the average person, you have Tsaras, I'm embarrassed. It takes away, I can't go to the baseball game. Friday in the summer, we play. We have teams. Now that I have Tsaras, I can't go to the game. Oy, oy, oy. And my team is upset. That's not, or in the embarrassment that I've done. I'm this out there. People are going to talk about me in the newspaper. They're going to say that David did Al Lashon Hara. Who knows what he did? That's not what David cares about. The consequence of having Tsaras is that when a person has Tsaras, the Shekhinah is not resting upon the person. And that is a very painful thing.
It's a lot more than embarrassing. It's like the person can't tolerate it. Shalom, when he lost the Shekhinah, he couldn't tolerate it. That, there's no longer a Shekhinah. He needed double.
Well, Shalom is a very complicated. Shalom had a very complex mix of different things that were going on when he lost the Malchus. Shisha chodoshim nitzad David nisalka menu Shekhinah poishu menu Sanhedrin. The next Tzara. Once he can no longer talk and learning with the Sanhedrin, v'alze amar zeh mizmor. So the Sipurnis is an incredible chiddush that's what this mizmor was composed in response to. David having tsaras histalkus hashchina and parshu menu Sanhedrin, amar zeh mizmor havehabo achrav, and the next mizmor miz liyidu usan. It's another very complicated mizmor. It's the next one uva amroi. So what is over here? David says, David over here is not really excited. Let's say lahazkir. What's lahazkir? Hoira shetfilase bozeh hamizma hoyso lekel yisbrach shelo yishkachehu. Don't forget me, Hashem. Please remember me. We ordinarily associate the word yiskar with the dead. Not true. Yiskar is for the living. Don't forget about me. VaHashem pokad es sora kasher amar. Okay, the word pokad is not the same as the word remember, but it's very, it's zochor eskerenot. Haibein Yaakov Yefrem Yelet Shashum Kimidei Davibo zochor eskerenu. That's the Haftarah of Rosh Hashanah. And the first day of Rosh Hashanah, what do we say? The second day of Rosh Hashanah, zochor eskerenu. And the first day is Vashem pokad eskerenu, which is very similar to remembering. The word yizkor is not just about the dead, it's about us. And David over here in this desperate state of Tsaras, where the Sanhedrin departed. And when David, the Stalkos Hashchina, what does David say? He says to Hashem, don't lehazkir, remember me. I'm here in isolation. Michutz lamachane moshavoy. Bodod yeshev. I'm all alone. In isolation, quarantine, and lockdown. Hashem, don't forget about me. Shelo yishkocheyu. Don't forget about me, kameis. Vishayosim Kate's lit sorrow. They bring an end to my tsaros. Okay, that's interpretation number 5. So many interpretations number 5 is what this word lahaskir means.
Second, just before we go further, we see that Miriam was like with tsaros because she spoke
Lashon Hara.
But I don't see why David was.
Okay, so we have to study that. We have to go back to we have to learn Sefer Shmuel. and go through and go through. You're right. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the answer. It's a very good question. What exactly is the shoresh? Yeah. See, that's a very dangerous thing. What we do, because all over the Gemara always tells us why bad things happen. Right? The Gemara says, why did this happen? That the whole Shas.
I don't remember this.
2,711 daf, and the many of those daf, the Gemara tells us why. So we get carried away with ourselves, and we think, oh, if the Gemara tells us why everything happened, and we learn the daf yomi every single day, so when something today in this world happens, the Holocaust happens, oh, we know why it happened. We also know why it happened. We know why the Holocaust happened. We know why this COVID. We know why the Queen of England died. We know why. We know nothing. We know zero, zero, zero. This tekufa of knowledge of the Chachamim came to an end with the Chasimas HaTalmud. When the Talmud was sealed, approximately 500 years after the Korban, 700 years after the Korban, that's it. The tekufa of the Chachamim, Chacham Odif Minavi. A Chacham is better than a Navi, also tells you why. After the end of the Chasim of the Nevi'im, enter the tekufa of the Chachamim. Those who wrote the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Mishnayis, the Talmud, the Rabbanan Savaroi, and when that tekufa came to an end, the tekufa of the Chachamim, we know nothing. Rashi, all the Rishonim lived through the worst horrors of the Crusades. Yankee. They lived through the worst horrors of the Crusades. Did they ever write? Did they ever write even once in all of their writings, even one word as to why the Crusades happened? Why Klal Yisrael suffered enormous tragedy? Not one word. How could it be? If we know today why the Holocaust happened, if we know today why did COVID happen?
I heard you said that you were quoting that they used to say, you know, this is Yerushalayim, we're happy here. They forgot about going back to Yerushalayim, you know, in the Kinas.
Yeah.
That was attributed one of the reasons that
Say it again.
Because they were happy where they were. They felt that there's no need to go back to Yerushalayim.
That's also very controversial. Today, no one can say.
I mean, you must have mentioned that
one of the. Right, I vaguely remember. Yeah, okay, but generally speaking, today anyone that tells you they know why something happened, you look at them like you're from Mars.
Yeah.
What do you say? You know why COVID happened? Right. You know why the Holocaust happened? You know why this? No one knows nothing. Right. So the Rishonim, they didn't say anything. All the tsarists in their time, no one said a word. We unfortunately get carried away with ourselves because we learn the Gemara, and the Gemara always tells us why. So we think we're also entitled to say why. We have to remember there's a world of a difference between the Tanoim and the Amoraim and us. There's not even there's nothing in common. We have nothing in common with them. Okay, going back. The David over here said, Lahaskir, David is being mispelled, mivakish, to be masked during the time of isolation. David was in isolation. Interesting, you never heard anyone in time of COVID to say during lockdown, when basically we were all together mitzaroim. Everyone was bodod yeshev, michutz lamachane mashavai, parshu mimenu sanhedrin. There was no communal learning and davening. Everyone was on their own lockdown. You never heard anyone to say, oh, why don't we say this mizmar? Focus on Mizmor Lamed Ches. Mizmor Lamed Ches. Mizmor Lamed Ches. David composed Lahazkir, that David in his time of isolation, Badad Yeshev, Michutz Tamachne Mashavai, he had Tzoras for 6 months, Parshu Menu Sanhedrin, the Shina was Nistalik, he was all alone. This is what David composed in the time of lockdown. That's what the Sipurna says. Pile Ploim. This is the mizmor that David composed when he was locked down because of disease. He was a mitzayra. Unbelievable. That's what he writes over here. Okay, that's ready. The fifth interpretation. Now, we're not finished yet. We didn't even do the mitzudos. Okay, embarrassing. Look at the mitzudos. Pasuk of lahazkir. Ha-mizmor ze nase lahazkir. That is exactly the same thing with the Radak says in interpretation number 3. Okay, so the Mitzudois was Malakit. He knew everything that we knew, all of his predecessors. He selected from the five interpretations, the interpretation of the Radak's third interpretation. Now, we're not finished yet. There's more. Let's see the Malbum. The Malbum says, the Malbum, on page 343, Pasuk of Mizmor, Zemer Zeh Husad, Bacha Loisoi, Machala Anusha. When David, look, it's very powerful words. So no one can write like the Malbum. When David was stricken with an illness of intensity, Anusha means a very grave illness. Not just stamina illness. Now that's not what the Sipurno said. This Sipurno is connecting this to Tsaras. Tsaras, we don't really know what Tsaras is. It does not necessarily mean the person is sick, is physically sick. You would not use the term Husad Bachaloisoi Machalo, an illness. An illness is not Tsaras. He's sick. He's lying in his bed. We do know that we have all over in Chazal that David was ill. David had, that's a separate maisa. David had Tsaras for 6 months. That's one tekufa. But David also was deathly ill. Nothing to do with Tsaras. He just was whatever his sickness was. And it wasn't just a lightweight cold. It was a machala anusha, an intense, grave, dire illness which threatened his life. Vayichi micholioi. Tchias ha-meisim. David came back to life. V'zeh hoya acha, when did David suffer illness? V'zeh hoya acha ma'isad ba'sheva. Shetola ha'choyli b'chatov. This goes back to Sefer Shmuel. There it says that David knew why bad things happen. And David says, the reason why I was in the hospital, I was deathly ill for this tekuva was because of the chet of ba'sheva. Oh, kolo'em David chata ene letoya, not now. But David says, I sinned with Bathsheba, and therefore that's why I suffered illness. The gam oivav sosu os al rosso. Okay, one of the most fascinating things you learn about David is his enemies. There are no enemies in the world like the enemies of David. They're always jumping for joy. They're rejoicing with such intensity. It's almost bizarre to the extreme we find in Chazal how David's always, don't let my enemies cheer and have parties rejoicing over my defeat, my downfall, my death, my illness. Well, all over, the whole Tehillim is like this, the whole Shmuel is like this. You don't find this by anyone else. You know, people have enemies, and when their enemies are defeated, so good, okay, quietly you're happy. You don't go make big celebrations. David's enemies, they threw massive parties to rejoice over, and they really had pleasure in seeing David suffer. Oh, David's very sick. It must be he's a choite. He's a terrible sinner. Who knows what else he's doing behind closed doors, this man. Interpretation number six. The word lahazkir means to remember my sins. David over here is saying, every day I wake up in the morning, I have in front of me a card. Like the President of the United States. He has cards. They give him cards. Should do everything. And the card says, all of my sins. It's a Musa safe. I should remember all of my sins continuously in order to do teshuvah. So I should not make a mistake again. In other words, David was nichshol with Bathsheba. David became deathly ill. David realized the consequence, cause and effect. The chet of Bathsheba is what caused me to suffer. Therefore, let me always remember this my whole life. Let me have in front of me my sins. And I'll remember through reading my sins every day, I'll remember this how I suffered. Because I sinned, I almost died. And that way, when the next nisoyon comes knocking on the door, I will be clever and smart not to go down that path. So this mizmor is a reflection of my illness, even though it's really more about war. We have to really see how the Malm is going to read all these psukim into what he just said, into his Hakdama. David is saying that that he's beginning this mizmor is in order as a reminder to me of my sins. I want to now remind everyone that we learned until now, almost everyone, said the word Lahazkir is Hashem. The subject of the Azkara, Hashem, please remember us. Please remember me. Yizkar, remember me. Don't forget. It's important we just don't Hashem. I'm here all alone. I'm in isolation. Remember me. Don't let me just sit here and waste away. Heal me from my tzaras. Remember me. David, according to Rashi, Klal Yisrael, Hashem, remember the tzoroson shel Yisrael. Radak, remember the individual. Hashem, remember the individual who is suffering. According to the Radak, second interpretation, the conductor, it's a musical note, nothing to remember over here. It's a musical motif, period. We have now a shocking interpretation from the Malbim. It's not for Hashem to remember. It's not a name of a melody. It's for me to remember. My sins should be in front of me every Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Summit, not just Hashem. I should put my sins in front of my eyes every single day to remember the consequence of doing an Avera. Read those words. One more time, those words.
If it were certain specific sins, the ones which he was told by Nathan HaNavi that he was forgiven, then why have them as a constant reminder?
Not to do it again because the Yetzirah doesn't let up. Chol yoyim miskaber alof. The Yetzirah will always come every day with new opportunities.
That can go both ways. That can be self-defeating.
All right, that's an issue for today's day and age. Today's day and age, the technique of how we deal sur meirav aseh tov, but on David's level, this is the David's level, he's saying lehazkir with those last line with him. V'alze omar lehazkir sheyizkor chato'ov. David, I want to remember my sins. V'yiyu linegdoi tamid. My sins should be in my consciousness continuously to humble me, to warn me as a musar, not to be nichshol in doing it again and bringing upon myself more suffering. Okay, let's see over here the Chumash Anoch. We already did six perushim what this word lahazkir means, and let's see. We did seven because we did the targum. Targum was the levoina. We really did seven. Now let's see. We have number eight. Let's see the Chumash Anoch. Mizmor David lahazkir kosav sefer Eretz Achayim ze hamizmor hu echad mi mizmorei hateshuvah. V'imkein kosha. I have a difficulty. If this is a composition that is teshuva, David here knows the Chaimas Nach appears to be following the Malbim, the approach of the Malbim, that David over here is remembering his sins and the consequence of sin. All of the tzorois presented in this mizmar is a reminder that crime doesn't pay, if you sin, there are severe, harsh consequences. If that is true, the Chaim HaSnach in essence is asking on the Malbim, why then does it say Mizmar? Kina l'davim mibayolei, kina l'osef. Just like the famous Chazal when it comes to Chubes HaMikdash, it says Mizmar l'osef, frek de Gemara, Mizmar l'osef, kina l'osef mibayolei, because the Beis was destroyed. And what is the answer there? The answer there was that Hashem poured out His anger on Eitzim va'avonim, and Hashem preserved us. Oh, so there's a silver lining, but that's very good for the Chumash Beis Hamikdash. But how are you going to answer the question over here? Why here does it say Mizmor Ledav and does not say Kina? V'yimkein kosha Kina Ledav miboylei leze omar. The word lahazkir, interpretation number eight. It's Hanukkah today. Interpretation number eight, Ze Omar Lahazkir, Ki Hasimcha Goyreim Hazikaroin. A whole world, he says, opens up a whole world here. The Ein Hashkin is Shada Elimitach Simcha. The Hoya, really quickly, we're out of learning our time. The Hoya Mikabel Hayisun Be'ahava. He was Makabel. I'm turning now, we turn to next, we turn to page 345. 345, he continues from his Nach. And what does this mean? He explains more, he elaborates. The Adoni Aviyama Shahazimra song, Goyrem Hazikoroin. It causes memory. Ad Kan Lishonoi. Uvazemotinu Kitsas Tan Lamasha David Hamelch Allah Shalom Omar. Zimirois Hayu Lichukacha. Now there's a famous chazal going to Eli, you know, we explain very quickly because we're running out of time. But David, one of the complaints that David suffered from very much was he said these words. He says, Zimirois Hayu Lichukacha. Your Torah is a song.
Right.
Is a song. Hashem was very disappointed with David when he said this. A song? The Torah is it's a lullaby. A lullaby. That's what you say. The Kedusha Satorah. That's what you say about Torah. It's a lullaby. It's a song. So the Gemara, the whole song. So the question, what was David thinking? May Kod Masavar or Lubasif Masavar? So along comes the Chaim Nach and he says to his father, the reason why David called Torah a song is because it's very hard to remember. Hashem put into this world the Koich of Shikha. You need a technique to remember. There are people pay millions of dollars to go to seminars to learn how to memorize the telephone book. Okay, there's a tremendous chachma in memorization. So the Chaim Nach says a technique of memory is joy. If a person brings upon himself joy, it opens up the deep recesses of the mind and brings out and enhances the koyach of memory. Okay, you don't have to pay millions of dollars for supplements and go to doctors and go to take seminars in technique of memory association. And you know, there are so many techniques out there in the world that people, a lot of them are all about either supplements, very dangerous chemicals you put in your body to enhance your mind, or these different techniques of association or hypnosis or all these crazy things. Along comes the Chaim Nach and says, very simple. You want a good memory? Be happy. Happiness, real happiness. Happiness is a tool which significantly improves a person's memory. Happiness. Lahazkir, David over here, he wants to remember what? His sins. Can you imagine this? We're saying that when he's saying, a chiddush nifla, what the Chaim Nach is saying. David lahazkir, he's following in the ways of the Malbim. David wants desperately to remember his sins. I want to walk around the whole day depressed. I want to remember all of my averis. But it's human nature to forget. Especially things that are unpleasant. So it's human nature. I'm going to forget my sins every single second of the day because that's human nature. So you know what? I'm going to be besimcha. I'm going to walk around the whole day listening to music, doing things that I enjoy, having parties, whatever this all means. I'm going to stimulate myself the whole day with techniques of joy. Joy. Enjoy life for one purpose only. By being in a matzav of simcha, it will stimulate my mind and I will never forget my averos. And that will make me into a better person by learning from my past mistakes. So lahazkir, work backwards. Lahazkir means I want to remember my sins. How? Mizmar. Let's play a song. Let's play a song. Thank you, Hashem, right? We'll play a nice song, a nice melody.
It might be a little bit different that through song he will remember. Meaning, I remember my daughter had that in school where they learned a lot of things with song.
See,
and
no, it's that,
had a good memory
not,
of the whole thing.
Not yes and no. Yes and no. That's more of a technique. It's more of a technique. There's a melody, but he's saying it more pronounced, the Chaim Nach. He's saying it's not just the song, it's the emotion. The emotion that the song brings out. It's a mizmar. It's a melody. It's a song. It opens up emotion of joy. And that joy will dramatically enhance my memory. Why do I want a good memory? What do you need a good memory for? Maybe it's better not to remember everything in life. I want a good, because I do want to remember my averos. Because if I'll remember my averos, it will serve me well in the future not to do more averos. That's how the Choymas Anoch learns pshat in the pasuk. Because if you're going to learn like the Malbim, that lahazkir means to remember, I want to remember my sins, mizmar, kina miboyele. The answer is no. I want to have joy to open up my mind, a better memory, in order to achieve success in remembering my averos. It sounds like an oxymoron.
That's interesting. I was always amazed, you know, constantly, like tonight, the Shia people will be saying, Arboim shona okut pidor, behem lo you do your do the rachoy.
You're singing the averis.
You're singing terrible things.
So you're saying
20 years. They're
fantastic.
Fantastic.
Look, we sing Oshamnu. Oshamnu, we sing. Okay, that's Pashup Shat. That's one approach. But this mizm, this perush of the Chumash Anoch answers the question in the most magnificent way. Isn't that what it says over here? Oh, it's here now, the Yemei Hadin. It's Yom Kippur. You have to, either now or never, confess your sins. Confess. What did you do? What did you do wrong? Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu. In each word Ashamnu, there's multiple branches. There are tolodos. Do you remember? If you're not going to confess your sins, there's not going to be forgiveness to the full degree. So if you're happy, if you're in a state of mizmar, a high state of joy, it enhances, I taka remember, I did this avera, I did that avera. It opens up the mind to remember the nuances, all the little details, and you need to do that on Yom Kippur because you need to confess. You need to be in a state of joy in order, lahazkir. It has to be bedavka mizmor lahazkir. Because if it was only lahazkir and was a kino lahazkir, then you wouldn't remember a fraction of the sins that you've done. So that's why today, you know, people don't like to hear this part of the Chayavos, because today we're insecure. So you think you're going out to the 21st century. Right. We're talking ideal concepts. Right. Today in the 21st century, if you're going to take on this technique and remember every single aver that a person did, today with computers, and you know, they can probably, they'll have one day AI that will spit out for you on Erev Yom Kippur, or the computer will give you a report of every single aver that you did this year. Telephone book. You come into shul with the telephone book. It's not so hard.
He didn't do it 2 years ago because he just got back his job and he was a little nervous to start to...
Artificial intelligence. I was with a computer geek from Guy, and I challenged him to make an app. They have artificial intelligence, an app, and I don't know why he came to this, an app. And it was a simple app. Is to basically the app, a lot of the apps say, you don't even realize that they're watching you. Like, you know, there are a lot of apps, they every footstep, they'll tell you at the end of the day how many footsteps you took. Mm-hmm. Assume that your phone is on, you will tell you account the number of footsteps. These are really old apps. They have a map, exactly monitors everywhere you went. They go show you the whole way, wherever, and they'll take a picture on your camera every 10 seconds. You can review the whole day, monitor you. So I challenge them, why can't you make an app that monitors a person by listening and by observing how much he learned that day? How much he learned that day.
Then you can have Fazora at night.
And then, in other words, and the app will then give him some rude reminders, you know, you didn't finish the daf today. You didn't learn the Mishnah today. You didn't daven today. You skipped half a davening today. And give you constant reports and chizuk and musar. It's doable. Believe me, the technology, they're much more sophisticated. The people that have these health trackers, these apps, they spend millions of dollars on this, and they're beyond belief what these apps can do, how they monitor a person, what he eats, what he works, health. They can do the same exact thing for your spiritual well-being, to give you a shtickle musar, to push you along. So, and this person was very intrigued by this idea. He didn't take me up on it because it would cost an enormous amount of money and the money to develop, but it can be done. It can easily be done. It just takes, you know, time and effort and money and skill. It can easily be done. Could you imagine they would do this and it comes Erev Yom Kippur and they press a button and the computer spits out a whole telephone book of every aveira you did this year. And go through the book. So what would happen? You know, I think I'll stay home today. Right? So you don't want... So in the olden days, they didn't have the AI and the smartphone that can do this. So what did you do? You sing. You sing a melody. And you sing a melody, it opens up your mind. That's what it says over here in the Chametz Nachat. It opens up your mind. Opens up your mind. It enhances you. I remember I did this Avera, I did that Avera. Wow, am I in trouble today? And that will inspire you to do teshuvah, now or never. This is a very incredible far, what he's saying over here. Mizmar, kinu miboyle. And he comes to Vatayish, where David says, Zemirus hayu li chukecha. You know why David said Zemirus? Because David, how could you remember the whole Torah? You remember the whole Torah? It's impossible. It's infinite, the Torah. David said, if I make Torah into a melody, it will give me joy. It will enhance my memory. And then I'll be able to remember the Torah. Hashem was upset. I said, it's nice try, David. Nice try, but no cigar. This is not, it's not, but what's the Havamina? Meikara Masada. So he's fatayishing. That was the Meikara. Sach HaKol, we learn here today, 8 different interpretations of the first pasuk of this Mizmar. Mizmar LeDavid LeHazkir. Strange words, right? Mizmar LeDavid LeHazkir. 8 different interpretations as to what the Azkara refers to. And we really good to go backwards, to go learn the Mizmar first and then see and how it all comes together. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a very short break and then we'll learn some Chumash.